Morning. We begin again a new year, the first Sunday of Advent, feeling of anticipation begins, time of waiting, time of working, time of hoping, time of praying. The coming of the kingdom. It's a new beginning, and yet it doesn't seem to have changed very much. We start a new series of gospel readings. We read Matthew just now. We'll be reading Matthew all year this year now, as opposed to Luke last year and Mark the year before. And yet we pick up where we left off. We don't begin the gospel at the beginning, we begin at the end. This is chapter 24 of Matthew. It's very similar to the reading that we had 2 weeks ago, the last Sunday in ordinary time that wasn't a feast, about the end time. It is, after all, a circle. So when we come to the end, we find ourselves at the beginning, and you look behind yourself at the beginning. There's the end. Seems like we go around in circles. And yet if we go around in circles, it's kind of pointless. Point is that we need to be going around in a spiral. It needs to be three-dimensional rather than just two. Instead of going around and around and around in a circle, we need to be going around and around and around in a spiral, working our way slowly upward as we go around in circles. That makes a difference. Not much of a difference, turn by turn, circle by circle, year by year. But the cumulative effect of it is substantial. And that's a part of this kingdom process, after all. We work for a very patient God. The universe is 13 point something billion years old. God's been at it a long time. Probably has a long time farther to go. In fact, that leaves us in a bit of a conundrum itself. Is it really going to be that long? Or then should we maintain our enthusiasm for something that may not happen in a couple of million years? On the other hand, if we want it to happen immediately, don't we become a little zealous, a little short-sighted, and perhaps a little arrogant? I mean, my parents and grandparents are dead. They were better people than I am. And a little arrogant to suggest that it all has to come to its completion in my lifetime when it didn't come in theirs. We just buried Tino yesterday and last week. Are they any less Christians than you and me? If the kingdom didn't come in their lifetime, who are we to think it's going to come in ours? And yet, is it coming at all? Can we see that little incremental change as we go around the circle? It's a long, slow process with only a little bit of progress made each time we go around. Something like our tower. The project, I announce, is finally finished. Monday, tomorrow, they will start taking down the scaffolding. We'll have it back by Christmas. But have you ever paid much attention to it? Did you notice it this morning when you came in through it? Well, actually, if you use the center door, you come in through the tower. You notice the thickness of those walls? Either the first set of doors from the outside or the doorway that leads from the narthex into the gathering space? Turn around and look at it. You can see it through back through the windows back there. That's 3 feet wide, that doorway. That's not built out to look impressive. That's there for a function. A doorway is cut through the foundation of the tower. Foundation of the tower at that point is 3 feet thick. It's a little thicker farther down, a little thinner farther up, but at this level, about 3 feet thick. That's laid masonry. It's not just poured rubble or quick cast concrete. That's laid masonry, brick by brick, on mortar, layer by layer, going up. Took a fair number of masons, long time, to build that tower. It's probably one of the last things finished in the construction of the church. Had so many brick to lay. And most of them have not been seen by human eye since 1840. Somewhere in the middle of that thing, there are bricks that were laid with just as much care as the ones on the outside that you can see. And as soon as they were laid, they put another bed of mortar over top of them and started another layer of bricks. And they haven't been seen by human eyes since. But they're there. And they're doing the job. They're bearing the weight of that tower, making the next layer and the layer after it and the layer after it possible. Your life and my life are like that. A couple of generations from now, nobody will remember our names. Nobody will remember what we did. Nobody will see it again. Until the kingdom comes, it'll be covered up by layer and layer and mortar and brick. But it'll be there. It'll be a part of God's kingdom. It'll be a part of the foundation for what soars into the sky. That's what we're called to do. Lay a brick. Somewhere in the middle of the support for a tower that will not be seen again. What if it didn't? Well, we could probably get away with it. If there were a missing brick in that tower somewhere, the tower would probably still stand. On the other hand, if there were any substantial number of missing bricks, wouldn't work. Each of us is called not to see how close we can cut it and how little we can get away with, but how well we can lay our brick or two, the construction of that tower. That's not big enough or flashy enough or important enough or dramatic enough to inspire us very much. We need enlightenment. We need light to see, not just to see by while we're laying the brick, but to see down into that tower as to how many bricks have been laid before ours, up into that still unencumbered sky, and see how many stories will be laid on top of our work. Light to see the importance of what we do, light to work by. Like to give us courage and cheer while we work. And that light is Christ, the light of the world. In terms of our knowledge of Him, our personal knowledge of Him, our personal relationship with Him, it becomes important enough to do. Someone is asking you, someone you know. Someone who cares about you, someone about whom you care, is asking you to lay that brick. That makes it a little more doable. We really do need the light of Christ to work by, the light of Christ to wait by, the light of Christ to hope by. This Advent, we will be stressing that light theme a little more than usual. That's why the wreath was moved front and center, and why the candles will come in one at a time in solemn form at the beginning. held aloft, behold the light. We will, as usual, grow a banner. We'll all be about light. That first theme is up there now. See the light. See the light of that little candle. See the light of Christ. It's the light you need to watch by, to stay awake by. The light without which we just give in to the natural temptation to curl up and go to sleep. It's the light we need to, a light we need to watch by. The light we need to work by as we make our own small contributions to God's very large plan. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.